We're enjoying FI so much. We'll stay on FI. Move to agenda paper 9, which isn't just IFRS 9, 39 as well. Fernando, is this your first visit to the Interpretations Committee?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so you have to be nice to Fernando. Ross, is it your first visit?
No. I've been blessed
You've
with this presence before.
Okay, so you don't have to be nice to Ross, but you do need to be nice to Fernando.
Absolutely.
No, not to Kumar. Okay, Fernando.
Good afternoon. So in this agenda paper, we discuss a request about the highly probable requirement in IFRS 9 and IAS 39, which is applicable to forecast transactions designated as hedged item in cash flow hedge relationships. In particular, the request asked how an entity applies the highly probable requirement when load following swaps are designated as hedging instruments. The request also asked for the purpose of assessing or measuring hedge effectiveness, whether the hedged item must be fixed in volume terms at the inception of the hedging relationship, and whether the answer to these questions would be different depending on whether the entity applies IFRS 9 or IAS 39. As described in paragraphs 11 to 13 of the agenda paper, almost all respondents to our outreach request said that load following swaps, as described in the submission, are not common. In addition, we note that the submitter asked about a highly specific circumstance, and the response to our outreach indicates that the issue is not widespread, since only a relatively small number of entities apply and designate these instruments as hedging instruments. For these reasons, we recommend not analyzing the accounting for the derivative instrument described in the submission. And in addition, we recommend the committee does not add this matter to its standard setting agenda, because we have not obtained evidence that the matter is widespread or is expected to have a material effect on those affected. I now ask whether you agree with the recommendation, and in case you agree, I ask for any comments on the tentative agenda decision proposed in Appendix A of the paper.
Okay, who's keen to talk about hedge accounting?
What the paper says, nobody.
Bob. Should have known you'd want to
be. I'll make an attempt to talk about hedge accounting. Again, on this one, I'm not in favor of the staff's proposed tentative agenda decision. I don't disagree with not adding it, but I think it's because we should do an analysis, and the answer is clear. I think one of the reasons why you found that this is not common, because we do get the question, and we think that the majority of practice out there believes that these swaps do not qualify in the hedge accounting strategies, and so that's why they're not that common. But we are aware of views out there that some believe and some are applying hedge accounting. And with this agenda paper, with the submission that's publicly available and noting that there are diversity in views, I think if this goes out with this agenda decision says it's uncommon, I think we're going to see it becoming very common, because they'll look at it and say, well, okay, I see there's diversity in views. I must be able to do this, where people thought it couldn't before, and then we'll see these.
Can I ask you a question, Bob, just following on from that? So I think that maybe there's two slightly different aspects of this. One is we've got a very specific question, like a very, very help desk-ish question, and we've got the response that it's not widespread. And I'm suspecting that some of the questions that you think are coming in or aren't coming in, because you're reaching a different conclusion, are broader set of questions, but where this highly probable aspect is a component of the question. do you think it would be appropriate to look to look at a broader question about highly probable that wasn't so fact specific?
Yeah, I don't know if it's broader or narrow, but because I was going to narrow the principle, I think it's we can focus it not on the total strategy with load following source, but focus it on the highly probable and the fact that when you designate or specify your forecasted transaction, you need to be specific as to timing, and that can be the range, I understand, but timing and amount.
I was wondering why Henry was commenting on his account.
Sorry. You can.
You can.
Henry
later. No, you can.
Yes, Kumar.
Bob, don't disagree. I think you're right to say that if we clear this and that's how the interpretation is, I don't want to people to get the view that we haven't done a technical analysis means we are blessing any view. We need to be clear about that. Just a quick question. I think just to clarify and to try and understand what would be, I would say, a slightly broader question than load following swaps. Mm-hmm. If I look at the question, it addresses, it asks the question not only with 9, but also IS 39. So just to put it in, because even although we didn't bring forward the IGCs, the basis made it very clear that nothing has been withdrawn. So if I look at it in the context of 39 and the question, that means what we have in IGC number F6.2 D&E, which tells what we have to go slightly beyond that. And I think it's you're coming to the question that effectively what you're saying is that you cannot just impute the terms in a hypothetical by looking at the hedging instrument. It has to reflect the transaction, right?
That's right. And just can I clarify, also just touch upon, you know, so you brought up 39 and 9. I'd like to leave 39. You know, I didn't think there was diversity, that much diversity on 39. Let's leave that alone.
That's
Let's
what
see
it is.
With this with just 9.
So just focus. That's why I wanted, I didn't think there was much, but obviously the instruments develop more. So maybe that. Okay, fair enough.
Reinhardt?
On this one, I agree with the staff analysis, sorry, the staff proposal not to put it on the agenda. And I think, as Bob said, there are questions raised about this from time to time. I just don't see it as being prevalent enough or common enough to really deal with the circumstances. And I think what I'm getting at is if we were to try to put it on our agenda or try to analyze situations where how to apply hedge accounting where you have a variable notional amount, we'll get into all kinds of specific facts and circumstances, and it'll be quite a complex discussion and analysis. So on balance, I would I agree with the staff. I would, similar to the other agenda decision, take out the wording about expected to have a material effect, because we're seeing instances where people are entering into these types of arrangements to effectively hedge out 100% of their price variability. And so it must have a material impact.
John.
I'm in a very similar position to Bob. I don't agree with the staff recommendation. I think that load following swaps may not be that widespread, but deal contingent derivatives are very widespread, and that's effectively what we're talking about here. And I think practice under IAS 39 probably has not been too diverse. I think there's been a general acceptance that you don't meet the requirements that are in IAS 39 about the hedge transaction. But I think people don't necessarily believe that the same interpretation of IFRS 9 is required. So I think that the issue is, I mean, if you look at the narrow fact pattern that's asked about load following swaps, you might say, yeah, not that big a deal. But I think the big deal is deal contingent derivatives or derivatives that knock out. And it's not just, I wouldn't deal with all variable notionals. I would deal with just ones where effectively the derivative notional is matched with the actual occurrence of the transaction. I also don't agree with, I mean, I think it's, for me, it's not possible to decide whether this should go on the agenda without a technical analysis, frankly. So that's why I actually would abstain on that point, because without the technical analysis, I don't think it's appropriate to decide whether something should go on the agenda until I've seen what the alternative views are.
I agree with John. Deal contingent is a lot more common, John. They're very...
Mary? Yep.
Two observations.
One of which is, I while the committee and therefore the staff has to think broadly about why questions are coming forward, that it, you know, the first analysis and the first pass should be, what is the question submitted? And you know, you said, well, load following swaps are not widespread, et cetera, but there is a potentially a broader question out there. And I think that the committee should be hesitant to say, let's take this question about load following swaps and turn it into, you know, another question, and that other question become the reason that might do for, you know, further analysis or et cetera. You know, this is what outreach was done on the basis of. And frankly, from both a cost benefit of acting, particularly at this point, and more generally, I want to preach truth in labeling to people, which is, if the reason something like this, you know, committee members thought should be added to the agenda is because of its implications for another category of transactions, it should have that label on it, so that if somebody does pick up the IFRIC update, they see it and say immediately, it affects me. And one of the concerns I have, even if we were to think about the analysis when the interpretation committee was not adding something to its agenda, again, I worry about the disruption that it would take people a long time to realize might apply to them if they initially dismiss an agenda decision as, no, I don't have any of those. And somebody says, ah, yes, but if you parse every phrase, you realize that there's an important unstated message about some some other thing there. So I think if the committee thinks, you know, committee members think something should be addressed, you should be raising the issue that should be addressed, rather than trying to find it buried in a submission of a very narrow fact pattern. And the other thing is, it's something that just struck me during the previous discussion in this one about the no analysis of the technical issue is, first of all, things are evolving and the committee is trying to do new things to be more helpful, but also to respect due process limits and also cost benefit in terms of not throwing disruption into the system. The analysis of the existing standards and helping people understand how the committee thought through why standard setting is not needed applies when the committee is going to reach a conclusion that there's sufficient guidance in IFRS standards now. If the reason for not taking something on is because the question itself is so narrow, I think there's a real danger for asking the staff to always bring analysis of those fact patterns anyway, both in terms of the resources that are chewed up in doing that, and having lots of detailed analysis attached to very narrow issues where you're almost teaching people to go in and look at them and say, what are the broader lessons that I draw from them? And it'll become, I think, more and more an expert's decoding game. And I don't think that that's very helpful overall to the entire population. And so I'd say, I think, almost as a general matter, not only in this period of the pendency of standards that are effective during the period for the first time you're discussing them, this might go back to some of Jennifer's comments. If the reason for not taking it on is because it's not widespread, then I'm not sure that there should be an analysis of the technical issue, as opposed to if the committee is trying to decide when it does have broad applicability, whether there is sufficient guidance in the existing standards. That's when I think an analysis of the application of existing standards is relevant.
And sorry, Mary, I'll only add, that's a very good reminder of that, because that's exactly the approach we've been applying, in a sense that when the reason for not adding to the standard setting agenda is because we're saying the principles and requirements provide an adequate basis, that's when we've tried to be
helpful. Explaining what that adequate basis is.
In reaching that decision, you're explaining most what the adequate basis is, whereas that's not been the case when they say the reason is widespread.
Jennifer. A couple thoughts. I mean, some similarities from my group back home, on this paper as compared to paper 8, just in terms of we thought it would be a good issue for the committee to analyze. But again, appreciating the results of the outreach, that it wasn't widespread or common. So, and to Mary's point, I think I was just assuming what you and Katrina were just saying around the reason it wasn't analyzed is because it's not common. So what you know, you wouldn't go through the analysis if you've already concluded we're not going to go forward. So we're not going to go through that. But maybe one suggestion that came out of our group, and I think this was done on the previous issue, but I can't remember which one. There was sort of a thought of, well, if this is sort of perhaps an emerging issue, the particular instrument of the load following swaps, if it's becoming more common in the energy industry, for example, or it's an emerging issue, should it be sort of put on a monitoring list, if you will, of, you know, something to think about in future for, you know, IFRS, either, I don't know if it would be the IFRS 9 PIR eventually, or something just to sort of keep track of it, because there was sort of a thought that it might become more common.
Bruce?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I agree with Mary's comment. I think you guys have gone through a whole lot of resources if there's no widespread. I just had a word of caution. We've used this word disruption this afternoon. I'm very conscious that, from what I can remember, that doesn't appear in the due process handbook. I'm being serious. I think we've got to be very careful using a word disruption continually in public meetings, because I can bet every time we face an issue, somebody's going to then start throwing disruption at us in a country somewhere where they're about to do this, or a first-time adoption, or, you know, I'm going to be very careful in making this a yardstick of what we do.
Okay. Bob?
I see a very important distinction between this issue and the one before, and something we need to consider about with respect to widespread. And that past issue, and the dual currency bond issue, issuing that, if it's really not widespread, I don't see anything happening in the near future to make those transactions widespread. I think you have to consider not just whether it's currently widespread, but are there things, there are factors that could indicate it could become widespread? And I think issuing this agenda decision with the noting of diversity in practice in the submission, this could become widespread. And I think it's not a great result then that if it was to become widespread, and we had a chance to curb it before that, and we come back and then say, oh, this doesn't work, now you all have to make a change, I don't think that's a really desirable result.
Okay. Tony?
I think very similar to my comments on the previous paper. The outreach that I did combined with the staff did suggested that this fact pattern is not widespread. If there is a broader fact pattern or a broader range of instruments or questions that ought to be considered, then would be happy to think about that in the context of a different submission. But I think on this one, I'm comfortable with where the staff's got to and with the agenda decision. And I also agree with what Mary said about not doing a lot of work. I don't think that's about disruption. That's just about that. The reason for not addressing it is that it's not widespread. And so I'm comfortable with where the staff has got to.
Young sir?
I just want to concur with Bob. You know, this issue is an emerging issue. I mean, it would be very important for the energy industry, as Jennifer said. And also, I think that, as John said, this issue is very related, very much related with the contingent derivatives. So this issue is not that small at all to me. But so, you know, I think at least we have to do some analysis on this issue.
I mean, the advantages that our tentative agenda decision could be commented. So. In a way, if there are similar instruments out from other industries or other areas worldwide, or we have lessons learned that it is even more common as we have expected, then we have a sufficient indication to go in deeper probably next time. If that wouldn't be the case, then I guess we really should go with that decision that we do not judge on that specific case and instrument.
I was going to say something along those lines, because I think one thing that Mary said he said a number of things I agreed with, but one thing that struck me as well was, I think, her point that we get questions, we address the questions we receive. The question we received in this case was a very specific question. Now, sometimes we've, you know, consciously answered more narrow questions. We had a discussion on one this morning on IS1 and their differences of view on the appropriateness of us doing that. But I think it's another thing entirely when we sort of consciously broaden the question beyond what we were asked. But what I think we have the benefit of is through the, if we decide to go with the agenda, the tentative agenda decision, if when people come back, they comment and say either that it is widespread or that they think, in fact, the key issue in here is something else, deal contingent swaps or something which is broader, we then have the ability to react and to respond at that stage, but it gives us another mechanism of gathering more information to decide what to do, and then we are responding to what we've been asked as opposed to just developing it on our own back at the table. Andrew?
Two things. On the agenda decision itself, on the wording, I think the one thing I would take out is, as one or two others said, take out that it says it's not expected to have a material effect because we just don't know. On the point that we've been going around the table on, I'm just a little bit cautious with this because I suspect these instruments are growing in their use, and I'm pretty certainly from experience there are a reasonable number of instruments out there with variable notionals on them. And so I wondered if you might think about a variation in what you were talking about, Sue, which is, might staff do some outreach on the question of, are you seeing derivatives with variable notionals? And that would then flush out not just these things, but derivatives that we're aware of that are being used in different transactions where there are contingent outcomes to them, where you might have knock-in or knock-out features on them. And that might give us a better idea of the population. We could defer looking at this or finalising the tentative agenda decision until the May meeting and see what comes back.
Bertrand?
No, I liked Martin's comments. Effectively, we will issue an agenda decision, and this one will be, even though we decide not to answer, this one will be commented. So you did an outreach on a limited number of constituents, but relevant constituents, and then we will issue this potentially, if we decide to do so. We will issue this agenda decision to a broader audience. So we'll see whether the outreach is confirmed or not, and whether the issue is really widespread or not, or whether people might comment saying, "Yeah, I have something that is exactly the fact pattern described, but that may be similar to." So I think it's a fair comment to remind everybody of.
Yeah.
Just to think with that, I think I also agree with what Martin said, that's a better way because it helps us get the fact patterns together, Bertrand. Otherwise, we trying to craft the question like a variable notional swap, there are millions of those. Not all of them come under this question because they have been handled. So it helps us frame the question also a lot better to come back to you all to say this is actually what we heard back and maybe this is what we should do.
So with that, could I ask the committee for a show of hands on whether you agree with the staff's recommendation not to add this matter to the standard setting agenda?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay, and so I heard again, I think the good suggestion, even more so in this case, the deletion of the words about the material effect.
Yeah.
Subject to that, can I get a show of hands on the proposed wording of the tentative agenda decision, please?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, sorry, 9. Okay, great. And I guess those of you who think that we should look at something, the more specific the suggestions could be in responses, the better.